Father, this morning, we just come to you, Lord, the eighth day, new month, new year. Oh, Father, I pray, let it be a new beginning for somebody out there, Lord. A new beginning, for you are the God of new beginning. You are the God who will say at the end of the book of Revelation, behold, I have made all things new. That's who you are, O Lord, always waiting, looking for somebody who's crying out to you. You are able, more than able, Lord. We commit this day into thy hands. Everyone into thy hands, O Lord. Touch everyone who's listening right now. Touch them. Let them experience a touch of the living God. A touch that could transform their life forever. That's who you are, O Lord. One touch. And an issue that was there troubling a woman for 12 years just vanished. One touch. That's all it takes, Lord. One touch from the Savior's hand. One word from the Savior's lips. That's who you are, O Lord. This morning, we surrender into that mighty hands and to that word. Speak to us. Prepare us, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Yes, Revelation 6, 1 and 2. Now I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Okay, we'll only look at the white horse, the first horseman. In chapter 4, God had told John, come up hither, and he was caught up in the spirit. And the first thing he sees is a room where a throne is set. He sees the throne room of God. In chapter 5, we see the scroll in the hands of the one who sat on the throne. Nobody was found worthy anywhere in all of creation was found worthy to take that scroll. And when John wept, one of the elders said, do not weep, because the Lion of Judah has prevailed and has been found worthy. But when he looks in chapter 5, who he sees is the Lamb that was slain. He was found worthy. And now in chapter 6, we see the Lamb opening the seals. Okay, from 6 onwards to almost till 18 is the unsealing, the events that leads ultimately to tribulation. Okay, there are three series of events that take place. The seal series, the trumpet series, and the bowl series. Okay, and each of these series is divided into four, then into three events. Okay, that's how the sequence goes. Unlike newspapers, popular opinion, the Bible, that is the Word of God, warns us and teaches us the world is headed not towards peace, but towards a final cataclysmic war, the Battle of Armageddon. But in between, of course, there will be a season of false peace. That is why if we do not make the seeking of the kingdom and his righteousness as our priority, we too will be caught. We will be deceived. Because what we do not see, actually, the world doesn't see, is what is happening is the clash of two kingdoms. Okay? The kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, which is basically on earth. He controls this world. There is no fight between God's kingdom and the devil's kingdom in the spiritual realm. It is over this realm. So in Revelation 12, even when there is a battle going on, that battle in the second realm is over the first one. Okay, otherwise they are not fighting over there. He wouldn't dare to fight there, okay? But the battle is on earth. We who are caught in the temporal realm, the seen realm for us, and because we do not see the unseen realm, we do not realize what is actually happening. because this will lead to the final battle, which will be the establishment of the Christ's millennial kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. And then one last final attempt by Satan, and then the final judgment and the beginning of eternity. So the only thing that really matters to every individual is, to which kingdom do you belong? And do you have a right standing with and before the king? So please understand, as we are starting the opening of the seals, as the end approaches, there will be both political as well as natural upheavals that has been prophesied both by the prophets in the Old Testament, sanctioned by Jesus in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, and by the other apostles who wrote it. And Jesus says it will be like nothing the world has ever seen. Okay. So what we see in chapter 4 and 5 took place in heaven. Okay. But what we see in chapter 6, though it is, the conversation is happening in heaven, what you see is happening on earth. Okay. So the last thing we saw in chapter 5 is the lamb that was slain, is the sinister of all the eyes and of all worship. We'll just go over there and then go 12 to 14, the worship of the lamb that was slain. Revelation 5, 12 to 14. Just before coming, I was watching Passion 24, a clip this year's, I think. I don't know where it took place, somewhere in the U.S., the worship. And the stadium was packed with young people. It's so beautiful to see young people in today's world gathering in their tens and thousands. And it was worship, and it was called Passion 24. Okay, but we will see. All that we do here is nothing compared to this. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Okay, this is, if I'm right, sevenfold or eightfold. Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Sevenfold. Okay, that's what he gets. "And every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor, glory and power." See, it's a song we sing, okay? "Be to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever." And then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. This is what we see. And then in chapter 6, John is still in heaven, but what he sees is events that will take place on earth. What you see from chapter 6 onwards is judgment, but the purpose of judgment, even there, also through judgment, God is working out redemption for his people. Okay, that's how we have to see. So the time has now come for God to directly intervene in human affairs. So judgment is given to the Son. Remember, the Father does nothing. It's all been given to the Son. And when the Son has finally destroyed everything, the enemies, then he hands the kingdom over to the Father. The seals are to be opened. This is what Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 15, 24 and 25. Okay. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. If you only see, so we'll see how, though when Paul is writing the book of Corinthians, years and years earlier, after which John receives this revelation, you will see there is never any contradiction. So Jesus is the one who is judging. He is the one who is in charge, not the Father. The Father has given it all over to the Son. And when it is all finished, the Son hands it over to the Father. So you will see it is the Lamb that opens the seal. It is Jesus who opens the seal. And Jesus will talk in Matthew 24, Mark 15 and Luke 21. You don't have to go there about how those events will be. Look at what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12, 25 to 29. Everybody is warning about this. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, and as of things that are made, that the things which cannot shake, cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which may we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Okay, so everybody has been warning about this, and what John is seeing is the actual final God, or the judgments of God. Okay, so the Old Testament prophets called it the day of Jacob's trouble. Okay, day of Jacob, Jeremiah 30 and verse 7 will call it the day of Jacob's trouble, because this is basically, I mean, if you go by the order in chapter 4, if John is a representative of the church is gone from here. The believing church has been taken. So what has been left is Israel, and when post-rapture, whichever namesake Christian becomes believers. I do believe a lot of people will then see and believe. They will believe, but they are caught like Israel was caught during the church age. Now they are caught and Israel is left. So this is what the Bible is saying. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Okay, that means God, the remnant of the Hebrews, will come through it. And whichever believer believes or Christian believes. So the scroll is in many ways the title deed of the earth. Adam had lost, Jesus had regained. But unlike title deeds, this does not contain the description of the property. But it contains how Jesus will execute judgment and reclaim what was rightfully his. Always was his. Okay? So each of the seven seals represent a specific divine judgment. Okay, and they will be poured out sequentially on earth. The main purpose of tribulation is to bring Israel back to God. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be such a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, and at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book. Okay, so this is talking to Daniel about Israel, not about the church. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. 24, 21, 22. For there will be great tribulation, such has not been seen the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless the days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Okay, here, contextually, the elect is talking about the elect from Israel. Okay, from Israel. So in 6:2, okay, he opens a seal. Okay, 6, 1 and 2. The Lamb, Jesus, opens one of the seals, and one of the living creatures, there's a loud shout like thunder, to John says, come and see. And I looked, and this is what he sees. He sees the first of the four horsemen, okay, of Apocalypse. Jesus, he is coming, and that's how we have the movies, and it's become a term in English itself, Apocalypse and the horsemen. Okay, now the confusion is never with the two, third and fourth. The confusion in evangelical circle, Christian circles, always about the first one. So there is a behold a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. This is where the question is. Who is he? Is he Christ or Antichrist? Does he represent the forces of Christ or the forces of Antichrist? And including very good eschatological teachers like Derek Prince puts it across. This says Christ forces, which I respectfully disagree. Okay, because simply if you use scripture to study scripture, it cannot be Christ. Okay, it cannot be Christ. The other three writers, of course, represent very impersonal forces like war, famine, and death. So, if you study, you will realize the first one is a false Messiah, representing a false Messiah, therefore false peace. Because white is always the color of peace. That's how white becomes the color of peace. You know, you raise the white flag. And the fellow is riding a white horse. Before the terrible tribulation breaks loose, there will come a season of false world peace. It is deceptive. That is what will lead the world into a sense of false security. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3. Okay, 5 and verse 3. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. Okay. And if you look at these other two terms that is used everywhere, in any domain you use, it's either peace or safety. In medical field, they will make you take all kinds of stuff saying it is safe for you. These are the two things, safety and peace. This is how it is all sold. Okay. Peace and safety. Because these are the two things which we want in the temporal life. And that are the two watchwords. Watch out for those words. The first rider is conquest personified. He is conquering even as he appears peaceful. Okay. And he will conquer through flattery, diplomacy, cunning, or if need, even war. Okay, so let us compare scripture with scripture. Because if you study Matthew 24 or Luke 21, whichever 24, and Revelation 6 onwards, you will see the sequence actually agrees. Okay, in Matthew 24, what Jesus wants first in verse 4 and 5 is not about war. Okay, the first thing he says, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Okay. So this is where we have to understand. If you only use scripture with scripture, we'll see there's a sequence. The first sequence is about deception, and the first horse is white, and there is a rider. He's got a bow, and he goes around conquering and to conquer. So first thing we need to ask ourselves is, who has the scroll? Jesus. Who opens the scroll? It is Jesus. So you look into Bible. Has it ever been recorded? Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, ever taking orders from created beings who actually worship him, even the four living creatures and the 24 elders. On the other hand, he is the one who releases judgment. In this, Revelation 6:2, the rider has only a single crown. Okay, single crown. If you look, a crown was given to him. The crown was not given to Jesus. The crown is his natural right. He was born king. He did not become a king. He was born king. In Revelation 19 and verse 12, what you see is Jesus. That is Jesus, okay? His eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. So this is where you need to differentiate. In Revelation 6:2, the rider has one crown and a crown was given to him. In Revelation 19:12, he has his head were many crowns. Okay. Go back to Revelation 6:2, what the rider carries. The rider carries is, oh, he sat on it, he had a bow. He had a single bow in his hands. And we know Jesus doesn't carry a bow. What comes out of his mouth is a sword. Okay. Now, let us use scripture again to interpret scripture. Psalm 78 verse 57 and Hosea 7:16. But turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. Okay, so deceit here is connected to the bow. Hosea 7 and verse 16. Okay. They return but not to the Most High. They are like a treacherous bow. Okay. They are like a treacherous bow. Psalm 120 and verse 4. Okay. Psalm 120 and verse 4. Yeah. 120 verse 4. Sharp arrows of the warrior. Okay. With the coals of the broom tree. It is connected there with the deception. Okay. It's connected with the deception. Okay. So you need to realize the bow here is connected with deception. Okay. While you have to contrast what comes from Jesus is the sword of truth. From his mouth comes the sword of truth. From the Antichrist, it's always lies and deception. Okay. A crown is given to him, which means power. Okay. Meaning, even when the Antichrist is allowed to do his work, the control always is with God. God has never lost control. Okay, never lost control. Okay. 1 John 2:18 says there are many Antichrists and the big one is coming. Okay. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know it is the last hour. See, these forces of the Antichrist have been there right from the beginning. But the big one, the final manifestation of the Antichrist forces will happen very soon. Okay? The ultimate deceiver will come. That is the Antichrist. And in his deception, what he will do is, he will make peace. He will make peace. Okay? And he will deceive. Deception will reach the peak. And if you look at it, in our age, the age we are living in is the most deceptive age ever. Ever. We have knowledge at one peak and deception at another peak. And we will wonder, how is it possible you can have knowledge at one peak and deception? Because knowledge should deal with deception, but it's not happening. People are so confused about what you shouldn't be confused about. That is your gender. Right? There should be no confusion about it. Your sexuality, no confusion about it. Okay? If the most exact science is math. But now math has been proclaimed racist and 2 plus 2 does not have to be 4. Actually true. They're talking about what people are actually saying today. I mean, imagine teaching our children the most exact science is math. And now you are telling that 2 plus 2 doesn't have to be 4. And it is very racist to say that 2 plus 2 is 4. So we are reaching a time in history where people actually believe all these things are true. Okay? So we are talking about deception like never ever. Okay? Like if you look at US and you look at the opinion polls, they will say Biden is at the lowest ever, 36%. But the question is, this 36%, who are these 36? I mean, you look at what is happening in this country. It is so very clear. Everybody is looking at what is happening in this country. They are self-destructing themselves. And still they say he has 36% approval rate. So you have to understand at every level, what is the level of political deception, economic deception, social, at every level deception. Okay? And you need to realize this is the force of the Antichrist. Okay, so you will see what is happening is, he's been given a crown. God has given him. God has given him that power. God has given him. Okay, so the question is, God allows, but who is the one who gives him the crown? Ultimately, it is a dragon. If you go to Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 and 3, okay, the power is coming from another realm. Okay, and God allows it. Then I stood on the sand of the sea and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns. On his horns, 10 crowns and on his heads a blasphemous name. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded and his deadly wound was healed. So he will actually imitate resurrection also, the final miracle. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. Okay. And the next verse, it will tell you, like, you know, it's all about verse 2, actually, the dragon gave him, right? It says, yeah. It says, you know, the dragon, okay, you will see, the beast which I saw was like, yeah, we didn't read verse 2, was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Okay, this is the Antichrist. Okay, and who will give it? Satan will give him that. Okay, so we need to understand the power of deception. And what we see Jesus constantly warning us in Matthew 24 is about deception. And when deception is deep rooted, okay, when deception deep rooted, the other things follow. And if you look right from the beginning of human history, what followed was not death. What started was not death. What started was deception. Deception led to death. That's what. The first one to eat the fruit was the one who was deceived. That was in chapter 3. And in chapter 4, we have death. We have death coming in. Okay, so we will see that has always been the order, that unless you are deceived, the other things cannot happen. The other things are a result of deception. So Jesus warns, the first thing that will happen is deception. Okay, deception. Once deception takes place, the other things sequentially starts following. So you have the other rider, the horses, the other riders, which is war, famine, pestilence, natural political upheavals, everything. But you also need to understand, none of these upheavals will turn man to God if the man is deceived. Okay. Otherwise, this should be a time of fasting and prayer in Ukraine and Russia. They should be crying out to God. But you will see, people will not. People will not. Okay. So war in itself, famine in itself, all these things. Okay, that's why I said, all prodigals don't come back. All prodigals don't come back. Some choose to die in famine. Chose to die in famine, okay, because we have to realize, because the first thing, what the famine does to the prodigal son, the first thing written is that he came to his senses, when he came out of deception, then he started seeing clearly in my father's house, and he takes his journey back. Once he's out of deception, moves to repentance. Repentance leads to action. Action leads to restoration. But the key is this. If you don't come out of deception, you will die in the war. You will die in the disease. You will die in the famine. You will die. Okay. So all this God will use is to cause you to think. So if you don't think, you will die. So when the famine hits and he has sold himself to somebody to work, and he finally ends up taking care of pigs, and he's so hungry, he starts to think. He starts to think. Remember, the beginning of deliverance through Gideon is because Gideon thinks. When the angel comes and says, mighty warrior, he says, if what you say is true and our fathers have said it true, why is these things happening? Why are these things happening? Because that is the beginning. He starts thinking, why are these things happening? We have heard all these stories about our God. Our forefathers have passed it down. But if we look at our reality, we are in such a mess. All our enemies are ruling over us. Why are we in such a mess? Has God failed? Has his promises failed? And the angel says, no, with you, he will bring your deliverance. God is always looking for a man who asks questions. Okay, the first thing you see about Jesus in the temple, he was asking questions. Listening and asking questions. Like I said, one of the major issues of people in the 20th century is that in the church, they are not asking questions. I mean, people ask questions, but stupid questions. Okay, like if you like you go for meetings and suddenly somebody will sit over there and want to know, whom did Cain marry? How does that matter? Ask stupid questions and change the whole narrative of a conference. You should ask serious questions. And that is why we say we study questions in the Bible, and primarily the questions God asks. Where are you? Okay, that's a good question. Where are you? If the Lord were to come today, where are you? Okay, you did this. But then who told you? Who told? Did you ask these questions? If you did this, what would be the consequences? Who told you? No, I did this, but this happened. But who told you if you did this, this would not happen? Okay, that's what God is talking about. I told you if you eat, you will die. You ate it because somebody must have told you that you will not die. Who told you? Okay, so questions people are not asking. Okay, and that is where the issue comes in the church too. Like, no, message is over. Now in these past 2 weeks, we've been looking at the whole question, the whole thing. God is trying to bring the church back, no? Like to bring us back to the kingdom. Because what is this all about? The kingdom is coming. It's getting closer and closer and closer and closer. The kingdom is coming. And why is this the call is a cry and a shout from heaven. Repent is the thing is that why they are all saying the kingdom of God is near. Because once the kingdom comes, you cannot repent. It's over. The possibility of repentance is only now before the kingdom comes. Once the kingdom comes, it is judgment. Or when you exit out of this life, there is no time. Because see, the rich man in hell knew about repentance. But it was too late. He said, if Lazarus were to go back, and he knew it all, but he would repent, they would repent. He says, it's too late, too late, it's too late. Now he knows, he understands repentance, he knows it is true, but he's in a place where he cannot repent. It's not possible for him to repent. And the urgency of that term, repentance, is only connected with the kingdom of God. Because once the kingdom of God comes, it is set. It one way or other it will come. Either we exit out of this body into that realm, or it manifests into the physical realm. And what the enemy does first is, like, I don't know which man of God used that statement. If the enemy cannot deceive you, he cannot destroy you. Before he can destroy you, he has to deceive you. Okay, so that is when the Bible says Jesus has disarmed him. Okay, so what does the enemy have left? He has only one thing, the same thing, is deception. He uses lies to deceive us. Okay, and that is the first horse. And you will see God allows. God allows him to conquer. God allows, gives him that power. This is, so the first horse, if you look at, is what sets the platform for all the rest to follow. Rest to follow, the first platform. Everything follows on that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 9 and 10, describes the operation of Satan. 11 and 12, God's response in judgment. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Because ultimately, what it does, it sanctions or embraces a lie. Okay, we saw in Revelation 13, a mortal wound that was healed. He will even duplicate resurrection. Duplicate resurrection. He will bring fire down from heaven. Elijah did, he will also do it. So people will look at it. That is where the danger, the purpose of a sign is to prove the word of God is true. But the devil also will use power and signs to make a lie look true. He will do. And that is the danger of the signs and wonders movement. The signs and wonders movement, you have to look at and say, don't look at that now, because the reason is the signs, and there's a lot of truth in what the Baptist says. They say is that the signs and wonders in the first century was given so that the word of God could be proved true. But now the word of God has been given, we don't rely on signs and wonders. We don't rely on signs or wonders. So where do we rely on signs and wonders when you are preaching the gospel to the Gentiles? But for the believer, signs and wonders follow them. But if you're using signs and wonders with the believer to turn into a false doctrine, that is not of God. That is not of God. So this is where you have to understand. Are there signs and wonders? Yes. When you go to the unreached people, like, you will see, they see those healings and they believe Jesus is the Messiah. But once he has come in, he has to be brought into the truth of God's word, and he himself becomes a sign and a wonder. Now signs and wonders follow him. Now, with the ones who have entered, what the devil tries to use is signs and wonders to take them into wrong doctrine and thereby deceive them. That is what the Bible is talking about. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. And the reason they perish is because they did not receive the love of truth that they might be saved. See, Satan is operating. What does God do? Is 10, 11 and 12. For this reason. Why? They did not love truth. Okay, and this is what Jesus had already always warned. And remember, his prayer over his people is, Father, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. And they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So as the fall of man begins with deception, the end of man also ends up with deception. Okay, so that's how it works. So please remember, the Antichrist will come as a man of peace, but his intention is never peace. It is war and death, to conquer and to rule. And if you go by the timeline, the first 3.5 years of his rule, there will be unprecedented unity and peace. Because what the world sees as the troublemakers, that is the radical believers, have left. Okay, have left Daniel. They are represented by Daniel and his three friends. They have left. Now everything is good in Babylon. There is no conflict. Okay, everybody will be agreeable. Okay, once the believing church is left, there is nothing left for a false unity and peace to take place. So the first 3.5 years, it will be like very much peace. Then the Antichrist will turn against the Jews. Okay, against the Jews. And then we will see. So it is, generally speaking, these four horses, I personally see down the ages, but also, like we see, we will see a narrowing down and its specific working out in a period of time. And that is to what we are preparing for. And if you look, like I said, very before our eyes, because one of the most watched social media platforms is Facebook, and its founder is Zuckerberg, and he's the seventh richest man in the world, and he's building a safe house in an island in Hawaii, spending over $100 million preparing for apocalypse. So the question is, what do they know that we don't know? And you read the book of Revelation, as the further in chapter 6 itself, God will say, don't touch the wine and the oil. Meaning the rich will come through that, because they have made preparations for that. But when the final wrath of the Lamb comes over, even they will try to hide, because you cannot escape. You can hide, but you cannot escape. So you need to realize they believe, more than the church believes, that this is coming. They're actually building nuclear shelters which can withstand even a nuclear attacks. Okay, so, and they're preparing for something. But we can't prepare for that. Okay, we prepare by faith that our God will take us out of it. Yes, so let us have Father, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. We just thank you, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your Son. We thank you for your word, Lord. Help us, Lord, to stay in the word. The only thing that can protect us is your word, Lord, which is the truth. The only one who can protect us is your spirit, Lord, who is the spirit of truth, Lord. Touch, 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 Lord, touch us. This morning, touch us, Lord, touch us, Father, touch us. Help us to turn our hearts back to the King and to his kingdom, and to always try to have a right standing with him and before him, Lord. The only thing that can protect us from the deception that is in the last days, O Lord. Touch, Father. Touch, touch, Lord. Touch. Oh, Father. Touch, Lord. For the white horseman is out. And he has deceived and blinded millions and millions of people who were once in the church. The great falling away, as you call it, Lord. But Father, we pray, protect us. We do not claim to be invulnerable, Lord. We too are weak. But you are strong, Lord. We will never, never put strength, our hope in our strength, Lord. We will put our hope in your strength. May in our weakness, your strength be perfected. We will not put our trust in the arm of our own flesh, but in the arm of the one who sits on the right hand side of the Father. Your truth, Lord. Help us, give us always, Lord. Never, Lord, allow us to lose the love for Jesus, your truth, Lord.
Jesus.
Your word is the truth.
Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus. Oh, Jesus. 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 Oh, Spirit of God, help us never Jesus. To quench you, Lord.
Oh, Jesus.
You said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be quenched. They shall be satisfied.
Jesus.
Help us, Lord. For all that Jesus. We read, even this morning, is not for academic purposes. Jesus. This is the truth. The white horseman is out. Conquering and Jesus. To conquer.
Oh, Jesus.
And he does it through deceit.
Oh, Jesus.
Through lies.
Jesus.
But soul has truth. With power, with signs, with wonders.
Jesus.
But he has received his power from the dragon. And not from God.
Jesus. Jesus.
God our hearts. God our people, our children. Our churches, everyone in Lord. God, Father, God. Help us to keep our eyes on the coming kingdom because this world is temporal. This world is passing away. This world itself is deceit. It has been framed in deception by the great deceiver. And therefore his way lies over this whole world, O Lord. Help us not to look at the world and believe it is true, because it is not true. Everything in this world is a lie, framed in lies. Made to deceive. The only thing that is true is your kingdom.
Jesus.
And it's getting closer and closer and closer. And in thy kingdom, repent is the most blessed word. To turn from lies to truth. From darkness to light. From the power of Satan to the power of God. And I pray even today, there will be people who will turn, those who relayed in the past on the power of Satan to rise up in this wicked world, will today be willing to give it all up and turn, because death is knocking at their doors. It is knocking at their doors. And death is not an end. It is the beginning of eternity. And I pray, Lord, they will repent. They will cry and call upon the name of Jesus, the only name that can save. They will not be foolish like that rich man. You fool is what God called him. I pray, Father, they will humble themselves and turn to you.
Jesus.
Call upon the only name
Jesus.
Given to man. Only name, only Jesus. Given to man, not even to the angels.
Jesus, Jesus.
When he walked on earth, the angels, the demons knew who you were. They cried out to you, but they crying out to you couldn't save them.
Jesus.
Because that name has been given only to man.
Jesus.
I pray, Lord, today,
Jesus.
Today, this hour, men Jesus. And women will Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus,
Jesus
and be delivered from the clutches of the
Jesus.
Wicked one.
Jesus. Jesus.
The power of that name.
Oh Lord.
The wonder of that name.
Oh, Lord.
Oh Father. The name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, 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 Jesus. There is no other name but the name of Jesus. By the name of Jesus. I pray everyone out there listening who is not well in their body will call upon that name.
Jesus.
Believe in that name, for there is healing in that name.
Jesus. Jesus.
There is deliverance in that name.
Jesus.
In my name is what you said.
Jesus.
Because Jesus. By your stripes,
Jesus,
we were healed.
Jesus.
And I speak healing to every sick body listening now. Be healed in Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what it is, COVID, whatever strain it is, I speak healing in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Touch, Lord. Touch. Receive whatever
healing.
It is, your disease, it doesn't matter.
Yes, Lord.
Your disease
yes,
has
Lord.
A name. But there is a name above all names. Hallelujah. It is the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. If you're oppressed today, there is a name that delivers you from
yes,
oppression.
Yes, yes, yes.
You shall cast out demons in
yes,
my name.
Yes.
Is what he said.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Be set free in Jesus' name. I take authority in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I bind every strong man in the lives of those oppressed who are listening. I bind you in the name of Jesus. And a command release in the name of Jesus. Everyone who is troubled with multiple personalities.
Yes, yes.
I command those personalities to go down in the name of Jesus.
Lord, yes, Lord.
And stay down in the name of Jesus. There will be no manifestation. In the name of Jesus. I plead the blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Over everyone who's struggling. The blood, the blood, the blood. You'll all go down and stay down. No witchcraft, no sorcery, no ritual will prevail.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
As we speak in the name of Jesus. Because he said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy.
Yes, yes.
You shall trample upon snakes and scorpions and they shall by no means harm you.
Yes. We touch and agree to this, my God.
We stand in faith.
Touch and agree. We're two or three again.
And we speak deliverance.
Touch and agree.
To everyone who is oppressed.
We agree today in prayer, Father.
And I pray by faith. They will speak their deliverance.
Yes, Lord.
For it is written, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. They will magnify the name of Jesus. They will glorify Jesus. Not their sickness, not their oppression, but they will lift up the name of Jesus.
Oh Lord.
They bow everything and they will see deliverance. They will experience deliverance. They will experience healing, oh Father.
Thank you, Lord.
No weapon that is formed against us will prosper. Every lying tongue that rises against us in judgment, that is the weapon of the enemy, the lying tongue. Because it's through lies deception comes. But every lying tongue that rises against us in judgment, we bring it down. We condemn it in the name of Jesus. We release your people, Father. Everywhere listening, we release them in the name of
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We release our children
thank you, Lord.
To the ministry of your Holy Spirit,
yes,
of
yes,
truth,
yes.
Of Father, wherever
yes,
they are,
yes,
oh Lord.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Even the ones who are gone away,
yes,
they will come to their senses yes, like that prodigal
they will, they
son.
Will, they will.
They will come to their
they
senses.
Will,
they will start asking questions.
Yes,
why am I here?
Yes, yes.
What am I doing here in my Father's house? You will bring to their remembrance their Father in heaven.
Yes, Lord.
That's
yes,
what
Lord.
You said Hallelujah. When you preached.
Thank you, Lord.
Why do you worry? Look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies in the field. It is your Father who takes care of them and clothes the lilies. Even Solomon in all his splendor, I pray, Lord, remembrance of their heavenly Father will come upon those prodigals who are far away, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
As we all around the world join and agree, there are prodigals who have left their homes.
Yes.
There are prodigals who have left the church.
Yes.
Their spiritual home. You will bring to their remembrance, O Lord.
Yes, Lord, yes.
That today, the 8th of January 2024 will be a new beginning for somebody, Lord. A new beginning as they start their journey back to their Father's house, oh Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Because you are a miracle working God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
we believe, we believe.
Thank you, Lord.
That when you come to seek, to save the lost, oh Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Touch, Lord, touch.
Yes, Father.
Touch, Father.
Touch, Father.
You are able.
Yes.
More than able.
Yes.
More than able. You are able. More than able.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Salvation, deliverance, healing, restoration, all flows from you, Lord.
Yes, it does, Father.
Touch, Lord. We continue to believe and proclaim, oh Lord, the destroyer will pass over all our homes, all our people, all our children, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Doesn't matter. Wave after wave can come, but we will go through it untouched, Lord.
Yes.
Because you are the same God, oh Father. You said, if you obey my voice and keep my commandments, the diseases that I brought upon Egypt, I will not put on you. We stand, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We cannot claim that we obeyed all your commands.
Thank you, Lord.
That's where we hide in Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
The one who obeyed your voice and kept all your commands.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
We do not have a righteousness of our own. We hide in the righteousness of Christ and Christ alone. We know you are only satisfied with the obedience of Christ. So we hide in that rock. And we believe the destroyer will pass over us. For he would not dare touch Christ. And we are hidden in him, the Lamb that was slain for us. We believe in the wonder-working power of that blood.
We believe.
The blood that speaks for us better things in heaven.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Father, we speak that blood over our homes, over our children, over everything that you have committed into our hands during this lifetime, Lord. The blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. What can the enemy do to the blood? For it is written, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, we proclaim Jesus. We proclaim Jesus. We proclaim Jesus. 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 Jesus was found worthy to take the scroll from one who sat on the throne. It is Jesus who is in control of history. Jesus in control of our times and our lives. Jesus. 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 We magnify you this morning. We lift you up this morning. We glorify you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, define this week for us, Lord, all your people. And I speak your rest into every heart. Your rest. And I pray each one will consciously labor to be still, to stay in your rest, and your works will follow. Yes. We just thank you, Father. We just thank you. We just thank you. By faith, as an act of faith, we lift up holy hands. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. And we once again declare, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.